Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello and welcome to EAN Cast, Weekly Neurology, the weekly audio podcast of EAN. My name is Daniele Martinelli, and I am a headache specialist and postdoc researcher at the Headache Science Rehabilitation Center at Mondino Foundation in Pavia, Italy. This month's thought topic is migraine, and in today's episode, we will talk about preclinical, translational, and clinical research, insights from animal models and humans. My distinguished guests today are two researchers, Dr. Maze van der Brik, who is professor of pharmacology at the Erasmus University in Rotterdam, and Dr. Gil Gouyeva, neurologist and headache specialist working at the Hospital da Luz in Lisbon. Welcome and thank you for joining us today. In recent years, migraine research has witnessed remarkable progress. Both preclinical and clinical experimental models have played a crucial role in unveiling the brain structures involved in migraine attacks. These models have provided insights into neurotransmission pathways and identify key molecules like CGRP and PACAP within the complex migraine network. Notably, this collective effort has led to the development of novel therapeutical approaches and open even more questions regarding the different response to different conditions. Dr. Maze van der Brik, your research delves into the intriguing interplay between gender, sex, and migraine. Let's start from the basics. Which is the difference between gender and sex, and why are they so important in the headache field?
Thank you very much for your question, Daniele. Yes, often they are used as synonyms to words sex and gender, but in fact, they are referring to something else. Sex refers to biological traits, so really biological differences between subjects with an XY chromosome, so we would say men, and subjects with XX, women. And it refers also to differences in hormones, for example, that men and women have, and the gonads. While gender, many people think it refers just to how you identify as a man or a woman, but that's not the case. It refers to lots of social constructs. So imagine that it would be more common, it was in the past, for men to smoke. Then if you find a relationship of increased lung cancer in men, that is not necessarily to biological differences between men and women, but to their behavior. However, in some cases, it's very difficult to discriminate. Imagine cuddling behavior of women. We could say we as women are raised with the idea that we need to take care of babies. And we have always seen all these movies telling that women take care of children. But also women do have higher oxytocin levels than men. So maybe it's biologically driven. So we know the difference between sex and gender, but to be honest, sometimes it's not clear what is sex and what is gender and how they interact with each other. And that makes it very intriguing to study this topic.
And why is it so important in the migraine field?
Yes, maybe that's nice for Raquel to answer, because she sees lots of patients with migraine.
Yes. Hi, Danielle. Thank you. Thank you, Antoinette, for your introduction. Well, it's different, really, in the migraine field when you consider migraine expression in men, and I'm referring to sex here, and in women. So the hormonal influence within a body, within our chromosomes, will also influence. We have some evidence that it also influences the way the disease itself expresses. So people of female sex, and I'm again talking about biological sex here, are more prone due to their hormonal context to have a more severe disease. And the expression of the disease also varies along the biological life cycle. And so usually it increases its expression around menarche, when women have their first menses. During pregnancy, it improves, and after menopause, it also improves. Of course, if you influence the same body, the same biological being with hormones, like with women taking oral contraception or hormone replacement therapy, you also influence the expression of the disease. And if you influence the bodies of people that are actually feel in a different gender, are a different gender from their biological sex, and so people that are transgender, you also have the ability to influence the expression of this disease. So the hormonal, besides the known genetic predisposition, the hormonal factors have a great influence and on how this disease expresses itself. And also there's some evidence about treatment response. But this is sometimes very hard to understand in people, and sometimes animal models can help us on that. Antoinette.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I think the beauty of science lies in combining clinical work like you do, Raquel, and basic research, because the clinical work has shown us that migraine is much more prevalent in women, and we know that the attacks around the menstruation, they take more time, they are longer, they are more severe, they are more difficult to treat. But if we really want to do something about it, we need to understand which factors play a role. And in humans, it's difficult to disentangle because you cannot manipulate humans in the way you would scientifically like, because it's very unethical. So, for example, in the past, we have performed experiments using an intravital microscopy model where we can study the dura mater and the meningeal artery, that we think it's very important in the headache phase of migraine. And also you study the role of the trigeminal system there. And we were able to do so in rats, that female rats that we overreactomized, and then we replaced them with either progesterone or estradiol or the combination of these, or a placebo replacement. And yeah, that way we could figure out that, at least in this model, estradiol was the main component influencing the response that is different. And I think it's very nice to combine clinical and basic science work. And now, yeah, we are continuing now even in human isolated blood vessels of subjects from different ages. And this also confirms that in the trigeminal vascular system, there are differences in CGRP responses. I realized we didn't introduce CGRP yet, so that we should, between vessels from men and women, and it differs in young women to older women, and young men and older women. So we always need to make this circle from the lab to the clinic and from the clinic back to the lab. But maybe we should explain CGRP for listeners that don't know yet what it is, Raquel.
Yes, of course. But I was just picking up on what you were saying. It's very nice to see that your preclinical models also have a mirror in what some clinical research has been doing. And also, for our listeners, regarding menstrual migraine, it's also very clear from a clinical and from a human research point of view that the drop in estrogens around the menses is the main trigger of migraine attacks. And very intriguing, just migraine without aura attacks. So the pain itself is very sensitive to this estrogen modeling. And maybe one of the reasons is, in fact, the CGRP, which is a molecule that is released during, it's a very potent vasodilator that is released during the attacks, and that has been shown to induce attacks in migraine patients. And of course, the newer CGRP, anti-CGRP based therapies have been proven very effective in controlling either acutely and also in the prevention of migraine attacks. And there is some also clinical research work exactly regarding the acute treatment of the attacks with anti-CGRP drugs that shows probably what seems to be a little difference between treatment responses between men and women.
Yes, indeed. I was involved in this paper. It was very nice to see. And we don't have sufficient data, but one thing that is interesting to highlight in this paper, it suggested that maybe the anti-CGRP drugs for the small molecules, the GPAMs, are more effective in women than in men. And it's very tempting to say, oh, maybe this is because placebo effect is larger in women, or maybe women are more prone or whatever. But I think what I like very much is, in fact, that this finding with the anti-CGRP drugs points to something different than we have found in the past in a meta-analysis on the triptans. And there we found that efficacy was not better in women, and in fact, the recurrence of the headache was higher in women. So it's, yeah, really interesting to see that not everything points to the same direction. So probably by combining all these studies, we can understand a little bit that it's not just because women react differently, or they are pleased with any treatment, or they always complain, but it's really biologically based. And I think that's important because do you encounter in your clinical work a gender gap, Raquel?
Yes, indeed. And that's also very clear on clinical trials, because if you analyze any migraine trial, you would see that most of the sample, I would argue over 80% of the sample will be women. And this is kind of different of most other disorders, in which the gender gap is the other way around. So most evidence that is about men. Of course, we also have an within women gap of knowledge that is about the fertile women's cycle. So pregnancy, around pregnancy, and all these hormonal changes that happen in that phase of the women's life cycle, that we also have very few information on. So it's very important, and we're moving at large steps towards what we feel it's the next generation of treatment approach, which is personalized medicine. And this gender issue, gender and age, are the two basic factors that will help us to lead the way and choose the right treatments for each patient soon enough.
Exciting, yeah? How this will happen now in clinical trials. The patient population is just considered as one homogeneous mass. And I think really that's the future, to look further in that. Raquel, we have spoken about efficacy, but what about side effects of drugs?
Well, also, there is some evidence that there may be some differences, but I think they are not just as clear as in efficacy. Nevertheless, we have a lot of precautions, again, due to reproduction-related issues, and it's very different in the clinic to use drugs in men and women. But nowadays, we are also recognizing that some drugs might also have some effect on fertility or on offspring also of men. So it's also an issue that we need to explore further, because now we're very alert to women's limitations, but also men might need a different approach on this. And with each time older parenting, so people are having their child older, so the likelihood of offspring effects will be higher.
It's really true. And it's very intriguing what's going on now with these prophylactic drugs and teratogenicity. And I know, by the way, that at the EAN meeting in Helsinki, this topic will be addressed, but also at the conference of the European Headache Federation in December in Rotterdam, there will be a session on this topic. So it's interesting to hear more about it. Eh?
Yes, I look forward to it.
Thank you very much, Professor and Dr. Grigorieva. As we draw the curtains on this enlightening episode, let us reflect on the integrated journey through migraine research, from preclinical investigation to clinical breakthrough. Our exploration of animal models, novel therapies, and gender-specific consideration has illuminated the path toward better understanding and management of this debilitating condition. Remember, the pursuit of knowledge is an ongoing endeavor, and each discovery brings us close to alleviating the burden of migraines for patients worldwide. As researchers, clinicians, and advocates, let us continue to collaborate, innovate, translate, and advocate for those affected by migraine. Thank you for joining us today in this insightful journey, and keep on following the series of EAN Cast on Migraine.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.